What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Teeing It Up podcast. I'm your host, AC, with DFSKarma.com and BetKarma.com. As always, I have Sam Sherman with me tonight. We're going to talk Quail Hollow, one of my more favorite courses to talk about in the calendar year. Tough course, brutal course, rewarding course, and a lot of good stuff. We'll get into the betting and DFS. As always, you can find our content, core plays, projections portal over at DFSKarma.com, and the betting picks, the expert picks article, comes out around Tuesday at BetKarma.com. You can hop in both Discords at both sites and talk to us live throughout the week. All right, Sam, what a weird week for at least me. I usually go to you right away. Let me just quickly give my 2 cents on last week. Unbelievable just tournament again with a lot of guys that we've been on and we talk about on these podcasts. And for me, for some damn reason, I was not on Sam Burns, who I literally play every week at DFS. Literally play every week. Every tournament he's in, I play Sam Burns. I X'd him out of my player pool. I was not debating him for a main lineup, but it just was a kick in the balls that in my, you know, optimizer, 149 or 150 lineups, I didn't have any. And I also X'd out Max Homa. I talked about him on the podcast last week. All that was for me last week was simply – I felt like Max Homa was just running out of gas. I was wrong, but I played him so much that was just kind of like a gut call. So I was left kind of holding the bag. Like, I didn't really have a good week in MME. It was one of my worst weeks in MME, but I did cash with my main lineup in cash games. I guess there's some solace there. Didn't cash in GPP. Needed Keegan to win for betting, of course. I mean, I don't even know what happened because I'm now at the point in the season where it's getting warm out. Things are happening outside. Like, hashtag, I'm, you know, living outside a little bit now, enjoying the nice weather. So I'm not watching as much golf, but I believe, Sam, I don't know if you saw this Keegan, I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, he's got this. Like, it's hole 15. He was in first. Like, I didn't even look at anything else. And I don't even know what happened. But when I got in my car Saturday and I was like, I turned on the PGA Sirius XM. Next thing I know, I'm like, I'm hearing Sam Burns and the championship walk, and that was it.
Yeah, so, dude, I actually watched way less than I normally do. I was also, like, since Chicago was, like, 40 degrees through April until, like, recently, I thought I'd get outside before it gets to 40 degrees again. And, yeah, dude, Keegan, like, put one what seemed like it was so not anywhere near the green. I think he was, like, the only one to, like, go in the water. I mean, it was, like, it was just so classic Keegan.
Classic.
To the point of I was, like, dude, that wasn't within 50 yards of the hole. I mean, it was so off. And I was like, wow. I was telling people last night, I can move past PGA stuff pretty well. I was actually pretty angry for like 5 minutes, literally 10 minutes about, like, I've literally bet Sam Burns in like his first 9 tournaments this year. I didn't this one. And I'm just like, didn't play him in DFS. I was like, you know, he just doesn't seem to have it right now. It's so stupid. And then I went Rose over Homa, which is classic. And then I was hoping you would watch. I guess you weren't either. I don't know what happened to Sungjae Im on Saturday. That was like my ticket, like my one and done pick, my winner. Like, I don't know what he did on Saturday where he just died, but he shot.
I'm with you, man. Like, I was enjoying the really nice weather that we got in the Midwest here this past weekend, and I didn't see either. It just sucked, dude, that you and I are literally on both Max Homa every week and Sam Burns. And I digress.
Everyone has the same story. It's not an excuse. Like, clearly I just suck. But, like, I feel like all my, like, you know, 1v1, I just was so off. Like, Rose versus Homa, and then I went Grillo. Dude, that was such a classic Grillo round on Friday. Like, oh, my
that
God.
That guy, I mean, I got punched in the mouth for taking him, of course. I made a stand, you know, just joking in Discord. He's the one guy that we have a fun emoji with. The years ago, he's burned us for, I don't even know what happened years ago, but it's a joke in our Discord. I personally never play him or Keegan in a main lineup. And I was on Keegan. I mean, I was pretty adamant. I kind of let everyone know that. I actually strategically didn't put Griot in my core players because I felt so bad. I already knew subconsciously what was going to happen, so I didn't want to, like, lead everybody to the water well on that one. So hopefully most people didn't click Griot, because you can still – 5 of 6 was still a good outcome last week, and you know, that's why I was fortunate there. But, yeah, man, I guess let's start chatting it up, talking what we do best, DFS. We'll talk a little betting. I don't have my card yet. I don't know if you locked in any bets or not, but I love this tournament. And the thing, at last thing, in Sam Burns, it's like the kick in the nuts is he was 80-1. And the fact that you and I both didn't have that bet, and I don't think what people realize, the more you're in the betting streets in golf, it's like we wasted the opportunity. Let's be real. Like, golfers like Sam Burns, they're going to win once every 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 or 5. Come on, let's be real. Like, you know, maybe Sam Burns gets lightning in a bottle and he wins again in the next 12 months. And it's like, dude, we wasted that was a wasted opportunity.
It's just, yeah, that was tilting. But I mean, I guess I'll say I'm happy for him, even though I'm kind of not that happy because I wasn't what I am. That kid's a stud. He's only 24. I mean, he's going to get him out.
All right, shoot your shot with Quayle. Let's hear it. Let's talk Quayle.
Yeah, I think the main thing to go is this course is so long because it was lengthened by Tom Fazio before the PGA Championship that JT won in 2017. I mean, 8 of the 11 par fours are over 450 yards. It's super long. This course, I was looking today at Fantasy National. I think it's like on tour average, I think like 22% of shots come from over 200 yards. I think at Quail Hollow, it's like 32. It's like so many long irons. So I think long iron plays key. Driving distance, I'm definitely playing, is a factor. And then around the green, I mean, you have to score on the par fives, and they can be scoreable. And it's not like a US Open, but you do have to be able to get up and down. Kind of similar to last week. Last week played definitely easier than I thought it would. I could see maybe a similar winning score here, maybe a little less, but it's another course of that three-hole stretch, that green mile. I think I'm probably misquoting it, but I feel like I read last year that, or 2 years ago, that the green mile hole 16 through 18, I think, is like the field is a cumulative like 5,000 over par, and the rest of the course, they're like 1,000 under par. It's like something crazy like that. But yeah, so it'd be nice to tilt on Friday again when all my guys miss the cut on the number because they double 16 and 17. But yeah, it should be an awesome tournament.
How can a golfer lose this week? I want to start asking you a little bit different questions. Obviously, you know the course is much better than I do, but how can a golfer lose? Just gun to head. I mean, you don't have to really think too much into it.
If you can navigate hole 16 through 18 in like one over par per day or better, and if you have to score on the par fives because they're not that hard. There's 3 of them, and with how long the rest of the course is, there's not like ample birdie opportunities everywhere like some other courses. So I think the way you lose and or miss the cut is by not scoring the par fives and then also getting yourself into trouble on these like 470, 480 yard par fours.
All right, let's talk 5 figures and above. This week we're starting with Rory all the way down to $10,000. There's kind of a bunch of these guys. The X-Man, my favorite, John Rahm, 10-8. Bryson, 11,000. JT at 11-3. Yeah, I mean, it's been, what, since the Masters, since we've had a really kind of like stacked field.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you going? Where are you starting this week in DFS? Like, what's your... If you are lineup up here, where are you going?
Early stuff, I have exactly tied for first, like to the decimal, for the top ranked, my top ranked guy being JT and Bryson. Everyone knows I'm not really a Bryson guy, but man, a course that rewards driving distance, I mean, kind of screams Bryson. I like both of them, but John Rahm is going to be chalk, and he like, this sounds stupid to say, like, he's underpriced when he's 10,800 and the third most expensive, but he is underpriced. Like, he is not priced correctly. So I don't know why he's 10-8, but I think he's playable in all formats, obviously. I'm not playing Webb because it's really long. And Rory, he owns this course, but, man, he looks just...
Listen. Rory, we got into it, you and I, and the Masters, actually, because I played him in my, like, main GPP lineup. Didn't work out, obviously, but he actually, surprisingly, almost made the cut late. Here's the thing. Yes, we all know his swing is, you know, not there right now, but he will randomly just show up, and you know that, Sam, and then it'll be game on. It's just a matter of how much work he's putting in and when it clicks. He will just randomly do it. I mean, it's a great MME play this week. I'm going to take a hard look at the chip, and
if you I'll want,
double or triple.
Want the rationale for Rory, I mean, he's still one of the best players in the world. He's played this course last 9 years in a row, made the cut in the last eight with a win and five top tens and two top 20s. So clearly there's something about this course. I think he has like the lowest average here of any player, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, he doesn't seem, he like even said, because he is so great. And I know you like interviews, and he's in those interviews, he's been very candid of like, yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I'm trying to fix stuff. It's not really working. He can't putt, can't keep the ball. I don't know. I mean, I do get it from a MME stamp. I do, but I wouldn't
play him. Theory wise, elsewhere, though, yes, I totally agree. JT and Rahm, they'll probably be the higher popular plays, anyways. I mean, those are every week for years. I talk about John Rahm. I'm so sick of talking about him because it's like the guy just automatically comes in the top five. Like, and there's comfort and peace in mind. You know, like you are kind of quote unquote overpaying. That's just coming from me because historically I come on these podcasts and I say, hey, if you're making a cash lineup or a main lineup, you probably should start in the nines, you know, and even the eights a lot of times. But there's always something in my heart of hearts. Anytime I see Rahm in the field, especially for some reason, he's sitting to your point, he seems a little bit cheaper. Like, why is he not 11.5 or 11.7?
I don't know.
I feel like starting a lineup with Rahm, it's like, all right, it's like the bingo free square, right? Like, I have no problems in cash games starting a lineup with John Rahm. Like, he's going to come in the top five. JT either, like, wins or he misses the cut. That's the volatility with JT.
Did you hear him last week? He's like, yeah, if I was putting him an average, I'd be winning the tournament. I was like, yeah, you would be winning the tournament. Last year, are you kidding me? He was dusting the field in every category but putting. I mean, it was insane.
I would love to make a JT Rahm lineup this week, honestly. Whether it's, I know I'm not going to do that in cash games, but sometimes you never know. I didn't even look. We'll get to the low 6K range, but I just sometimes don't care. Like those two, it's 1-2 this week. Real quick, we'll go to the next section. I'll let you start that section. I swear to God, if fucking Xander does it again, because we haven't even talked about him. He's wedged in between these guys. No one's going to play Xander, but a field like this, this is where Xander Schauffele shows up and he top fives himself. If not, he's due for a win at some point, but I'm probably not going to play him.
Yep, he's going to be one of the highest owned as always. He'll come in, it'll show like 14% ownership. He'll be 20, and I'm not. Nope, don't care. I'll just let him continue to beat me because the one time I'm right, I will gloat about how right I was.
So many guys in the next range. I want to play them all, actually.
Yeah, so I think the okay, so here's the thing. I was going to say, you're going to X him out. The absolute game theory play is Cantlay because he's missed three cuts in a row and looks completely lost. I don't play MME, so I probably won't play him, but like he will be sub 10% despite how popular he is.
Imagine an MME going overweight with Cantlay and Rory. Yeah. Even Webb, honestly. I mean, it's Webb.
Yeah. I think the most popular in this range will end up being, as always, Finau, and then Zalatoris, and probably Homa. I like Zalatoris, and he has had a little time off now. I like him. I think my favorite play, honestly, all things considered, is Patrick Reed, who burned me and a lot of people last week.
You play him so much. Play him.
Dude, if you look at his win rate compared to others, it's like, he does win tournaments.
Totally right. I mean, hey, I have to think about this. I don't think I've ever won a Patrick Reed outright. I may have won. I mean, that's just me, man. For some reason, I don't play him in DFS much or bet him. And
never missed the cut here, an eighth and a second. Just saying.
Yeah, I got to admit, man, I keep looking at Rory. He is pretty freaking cheap, $10,000. I mean, that's essentially 9K if you think about it. But anyways.
You'll be overweight for sure. He's probably gonna be in your main lineup. There's like no doubt about it.
Definitely in GPPs. All right, you mentioned Finau, duh. That's the guy. But dude, come on, Victor Hovland.
Finau, obviously he sucks.
Talk about the machine. I mean, Victor Hovland. This guy is like, we said it 3 months ago. He's Rory light. Obviously, a lot younger. I mean, Victor Hovland could be a major threat for like multi-major wins throughout his career. He's still very young, but this guy, he's got the juice.
He crushes like the ball and par fives and makes so many birdies. It's crazy. He did again last week. He made a gazillion and then came out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere, but
I love his attitude, man. I mean, he blows up, like, kind of doesn't care. He's like, all right, whatever, I'll get up.
I said that to a couple of my buddies a couple weeks ago. I was like, I've seen enough when it was we were watching Augusta, where Hovland has such a great mental game. He is going to win multiple majors because of it. He just has such a good mental attitude.
People knock his putting. It's actually not bad, you know? Like,
no, it's chipping, dude. His putting is fine. His chipping just sucks.
Yeah,
he'll figure it out. I'm interested to see where Corey Connors comes in ownership wise, because last week he was mega chalk. He ended up kind of sucking on the weekend, but I mean, like, I guess I'm thinking myself, if I played Corey Connors last week at that chalk and that ownership, or that chalk and that price, why would I not play him again?
This is a pivotal point in the podcast, in my opinion. I love the sentiment. Because I know you talk for, like, the DFS industry, which is great because we need to hear this. I think if for whatever reason Connors isn't, quote-unquote, mega chalk in our little bubble, I mean, yeah, you have to play him in a main lineup. Like, for all the reasons that we want to play Corey Connors on a tough track, avoid the bogeys, score in par fives, have the right tools for this course. This is Corey Connors. Like, I mean, my God, like, this is an automatic play, I think, this week, in my opinion. I don't even know what his course history is. Not that I care. I'm clicking on it now. 42nd. I mean, I'm going right back to Corey Connors. I actually hope he's somewhat depressed.
I mean, it's the same thing I was mentioning. Again, this is a classic me thing. I do talk out of both sides of my mouth when I talk about this course history thing, but it's funny when you look at someone like Corey Connors, like, okay, 42nd in 2018. Could he be less of the same player than he was in 2018? Like, no. I mean, that would have been right before he, like, Monday qualified and won and, like, got on the tour. So, like, I think we can assume he's a little bit of a different player than he was then. I guess we're right there again. I mean, Max Homa.
Oh, my God. I got to play Max Homa. I don't know about the main lineup yet, but
I can't. This guy
talk about a new player.
Dude, he's playing, like, more than Sungjae Im at this point. I mean, this is crazy.
I played him at the Masters. I needed him. I needed him. It would have been a really big payday, man. Missed the putt on 18 to make the cut. And, of course, that's why I was a little bit salty with him. And in between that bad round, which wasn't even that bad, he's just been amazing all year. So, like, you really have to consider playing Max Homa in cash games as well as all formats at this point. He did gain a lot of strokes putting, for what it's worth, last week.
Million.
There's that.
Yeah. But. So did a guy right below him, was always popular. I mean, I still like it, but Answer was gaining 100 million strokes putting. He must have gained, like,
10. Talk to me about Answer a little bit. Like, he was sneaky towards Sunday. I saw him climbing up the live odds ranks there. I thought he was gonna have a shot. He ended up, like, as high as, like, 15-1 early on Sunday.
Yeah, I almost bet him at 15. I was like, no, I think it's gonna be Keegan or Burns. I mean, Answer is just consistent. I mean, it's almost like, I don't know, it just seems like it's always the kiss of death to say it, but it's like, I don't know, he seems like he has a safe floor. I mean, he's made his last, I think, 9 cuts in his last 7 tournaments, he has 1 finish outside 23rd. So, I mean,
be careful, though. He did gain, it looks like, 10 strokes putting last week. That is very, very abnormal.
Crazy. I mean, that's just not him. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think I like Answer. I don't have a ton of interest. Sungjae, I don't know. I just can't figure him out right now. Brian Harman, I'm not paying 87. I know I play him all the time. I'm not playing Brian Harman. I know he's looked good, but no, I'm just not.
All right, Joakim Niemann, he played well last week. I could see him faring well here, honestly. MME, he actually spiked in the optimizer settings last week. I thought that was interesting. So it was like the optimizer, it's like a stocks, right? Sometimes the optimizer, for better or worse, like, is like a couple weeks ahead of schedule on XYZ, you know, commodity, call it, for what's some of these players. So I think he's interesting this week. I definitely won't play him in a main lineup. But Keegan, I mean, I know
going back to Keegan. I'm 100% playing Keegan again.
This is a Keegan course. He's still gaining strokes putting 4 out of the last 5 rounds. I'm looking at it right now. He's playing very solid. And in fact, last week, one of his best
approaches
too. I mean, he's prime, right? I mean, this is an elite cash game play this week. Again, I mean, it's as crazy as it sounds. His the amount of greens he's hitting. I mean, his proximity, the ball. I mean, he's hitting fairways. I would play him again in the main lineup, which is, believe me, it sucks that I can't play my guys, JT and Rahm, in the main lineup. That's why, you know, I love using the optimizer, get exposure there. But I ultimately feel, just again, going on this podcast, I probably am going to be dropping down to the 9K, the 8K range. There's just too many good guys.
I will absolutely be playing Jason Day after he hurt me again.
Dude. Jason Day's won here, hasn't he, in the past, I feel like?
He has a win here, 2 9ths and a 20th. Those are his only starts. That's pretty solid.
He's a guy that just, man, I mean, everybody knows. He's just, it's heckle, it's, yeah.
You never know. He won't be home. So it's like, if I'm playing, if I play 20 lineups and I put him in 4, like, I'm definitely overweight, like, by a lot.
I got a guy I want to talk about real quick, because I feel like you and I normally would just pass this guy up at this price range. But when I saw the top 5 finish on Sunday, and I was like, this literally the top 5 was what? Sam Burns, Keegan, and then there's Cameron Dringali, and there was a couple others. Yeah. Dancer. I was like, this is a DraftKings lineup that I would make every single week. How did I not win $200,000 this week? I kept looking at the top 5. And I kept questioning my process, and I really needed to tweak something, at least as the optimizer goes this week. I have to make a couple changes to my personal game, because that didn't make sense. Like, those are all guys that I literally play. Cameron Tregali does it again.
Yeah, we play every week. I agree. And I think he'll go under-owned because he's surrounded by more popular names like Keaton. And
people love the narrative of, oh, it's Cameron Tregali. He's not going to make the cut again. He's not going to top 10 again. Yeah, totally. You know, it's like, dude, this guy is having a career year. I mean, when these players sniff it out and they know they're having a career year, especially like these lower tier players. I mean, I'm not calling him a lower tier player, but he's taking advantage of making as much money as humanly possible while he's hot. I don't see any reason to get off Tringali right now.
I'm going to play Grillo again.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a good process-oriented play.
When you play Grillo, like, that kind of round that's almost hysterically pathetic, like, that happens. Like, that's what happens. Like, that's
I'm not playing him in my main lineup, that's for sure. I'll have some small exposure, because I will not – that's another guy. We've been on him. I will not X him out of my player pool just because I'm mad in my MME set, but I will not play that asshole in freaking my main lineup. All right. Tommy Fleetwood, nobody's going to play him. How fast some of the mighty have fallen. Harris English, nobody's going to play him. We were all playing him a few – months ago. Russell Henley, no one's going to play him.
I mean, we're getting to the point. I mean, I'm playing Glover, and then the same price as Lucas Glover. I mean.
So did he miss the cut? I can't remember. Did he miss the cut last week? He was in my main lineup.
Oh, no, don't worry. He cost me my cash games by on Saturday. I think he shot like 100. He may have shot 100 on Saturday. I'm not even, I don't know what. Dude, like, literally.
My lineup, too. I was like, dude, I could at least win it.
Paul Casey was in an interview. He was like, yeah, scoring day was all on Saturday. I was like, wow, three of my guys literally shot 80.
Not to get off topic, how did Paul Casey finish last week? Wasn't he mega chalk? I don't even remember. It's been like 9 years.
I think he finished. I'll look it up. I think he finished like in the top 20.
I didn't see him on the leaderboard at all on Sunday. I mean, he probably was there, top 25, top 30. But still, again, what we talked about last week. Not to keep crisscrossing here, but that's why sometimes our discussions are really good. I vividly remember saying last week,
he finished 21st.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. Like, he wasn't worth it. Like, yeah, you got a nice cutting first, made the cut. I get it, but you can't win your GPP if you're starting with Paul Casey, who's mega chalk. It didn't pay off. You know, I mean, yes, he made the cut, but anyways, let's keep going here. There's somebody that caught my attention. I was talking.
Are you playing Ricky?
I actually thought about it. 7,800, right? I mean, he just seems too cheap, and it's kind of like just catching lightning in the bottle. Like, I think he's closer than I think.
I mean, dude, you look at his course history, and it's like, oh, 4th, 21st, 5th, 4th, 38th, miscut, 1st, 16th. Like, God. Like, wasn't this his first win?
Oh, he had the course history narrative, too, which is funny. Oh, but yeah.
I mean, which is hilarious. I'm going to get sucked in it when he's played just so bad. I don't know. His last start was 17th. I don't know.
He's bound to find some luck. All right, here's a guy. This is just pure stats driven, and I swear to God, I can't really get this guy right. Oh, maybe it's just off his last. Maybe it's just off the Heritage. I guess I didn't really factor. He did come in second at the Heritage. Harold Varner III, I'm guessing, is going to be popular. I mean, I could be wrong. But the one thing I wanted to bring up, again, I was just kind of talking with someone locally here. He's just putting the ball in the right position in the opportunities gained category. And he tends to do that a lot more than people think. Like, if you look back at, like, the last 100 rounds, last 50, 24, surprisingly, Harold Varner's, like, top five in opportunities gained. Like, he just must be so bad putting historically. So, I don't know. I mean, it's somebody to
consider. He's like a worse Hovland, though. He makes those massive numbers. Yeah. Like, he'll bite.
They're huge.
I don't know. I would much rather just play steel for $100 more. I always play steel, but like
that's I played a lot of steel a few years ago. I mean, he's serviceable. He's just going to come in 35th place. I can guarantee you that. Maybe 40th. That's his window, 35th to 40th.
Yeah, dude. But the thing is, this is the thing I don't talk about enough on this pod. I try to put it in my content and Discord, but like, Steele's the kind of guy who could come in 40th, but DraftKings points, he could finish like 22nd.
Yeah.
Because he makes a ton of birdies. He can eagle those par fives. And then, yeah, he'll miss a lot of 3-foot putts. But that's how I think of it. I really like Matt Wallace at 7,500.
Yeah, we've talked about him in the past. He's a true freaking grinder. And again, I think it was at the Masters we talked about him. It's like nobody plays guys like this. How did he finish at the Masters? Yeah, 35th, 34th. 3rd at Valero, 18th at RBC Heritage. I mean,
that's like
people aren't going to play Matt Wallace. That's an awesome play, especially in tournaments. But like, again, in your main cash lineup, like I, as you know, all day will make plays like Matt Wallace, who will be 5 or 7% owned, just to find some uniqueness in that lineup.
This is a classic narrative. After he killed me last week, I'll go back to Lanto at the exact same price, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Lanto, did he actually miss the cut? I don't know.
Oh yeah, dude, he did. He made his first birdie of the entire two rounds on like his sixth to last hole. It was a disgusting performance. But yeah, I don't know. One guy, oh man, there's these guys that just always show up well stat wise, like Harold Varner or like this Matthew Neesmith is gonna rank out well and he's just not.
I'm tired of playing Matthew Neesmith.
I beat him last week and worked. Yeah, I'm sick of playing him.
Wow, he's stats. He's actually better than I thought, just looking back.
Oh no, dude, he's just so bad at putting.
Yeah, I mean he can't putt. He's really good with his iron and his tee to green game. Let's see how he's good with his act.
And we nailed it. It's the same thing. That's why last week I was like, I'm not playing. What?
He's better than I thought. His drives are.
No, he is. But like, fairly it's accurate. The same reason why last week I was all on fading Doug Gim. I'm like, dude, he can hit the ball as close as he wants. He's so bad at putting. And he missed the cut because he missed like 5 putts inside 5 feet. It was so bad.
On Saturday, into the wind, 35 miles an hour is like 165 yard par 3. I put it within, I'm not joking, Sam, 2 feet. And I three putt it. That's how my Saturday
golf. How was that even like? I just don't understand. Like, how is that possible? Like, how can you be that bad? Like, did you miss the hole on the first one?
There's a course, ironically. So this league I'm in, we have 4 majors, and we played this course as me and my buddies on Sunday. It's like a little practice round thing. The greens are Masters like. I mean, that's why it's the first major, and I mean, it's just steep hills. I mean, this stamp is literally 12 just naturally at these courses. So that's why it's like you just touch it and it rolls. It's down. It's gone. It's down the hill. There's nothing you can do about it.
This sounds like operator error to me.
It is that too, actually.
Cameron Davis.
We're back. I put him in my dummy lineup. I'm not playing him. I put him in my dummy lineup, if that makes any sense.
Probably play some Aaron Wise too.
Yeah. Who else is down here?
I could be wrong. Aaron Wise kind of sucks, but I'm pretty sure he's finished. Yeah, he says he's 2 finished here, 18 and 2nd. It's pretty good.
James Hahn always comes to mind. Didn't he win here? He did.
Yeah, he did win here. Not that confirmed me last week.
And he's not like having a great year, but James Hahn is like, I don't know. I like James Hahn's price, I guess. What's he, 6,900, 7,000, if I had to guess?
It's like deja vu. Do you not remember, like, did you black out last week when I was talking about him? I was like, oh, I love James Hahn, winner at Quail Hollow, good comp course. Totally burn me, so he's probably gonna win this week. I'd probably go back to him. All right, I'm gonna be a sucker as we kind of get towards the low 7 and under 7. I'm gonna play Luke List. I just don't even care.
How did he play last week?
I assume
Can't go a whole pod without Sam's audio sucking. Are you there?
Luke, yeah, he's missed his last two cuts. He's in prime condition to really finish high.
I'm scrolling down the list as we get towards the end of the pod because we got 2 minutes here. So, Sam, I want you to be thinking about your bet that you want to make this week. And no, as usual, we're not doing John Rahm or JT. I'm just going to rapid fire a couple names here that I think could succeed. We mentioned Chase Seifert last week. I don't even know what he did last week, but I'm assuming he'll pop in people's models. You talk about Sam Ryder a little bit. I see him here. Wyndham Clark's in the field. I mean, I haven't played him in a while, but to me, this tournament kind of, you know, if you're looking for a dart, Wyndham Clark can easily make the cut and then like top 25 with his length and stuff. Doc Redman is down here at 6,900. Again, nothing's, he did come in 18th year actually last year.
He's been horrible.
Yeah. Andrew Putnam's down here. He's somebody I like. I always play in MME. I love playing Andrew Putnam just because people don't know who he is. It's not like he's great. Tyler McCumber's got good iron game. Benny on, I'd consider in GPP, obviously. John Huff, boy, you've written him up a lot this year, man. Him and Danny Lee back to back here. I would take a look at those guys. And wow, there's just really no, it's like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. The 6K range is very hard. Very tough.
Oh, it drops
off. Many opportunities.
Yeah, it drops off fast. Yeah. I have my long shot bet.
All right, let's hear it.
Cameron Davis, I think he's 125-1.
That's ridiculous. He ain't winning. Come on.
I'm just saying, when I kind of look at stuff, what I'm kind of working on behind the scenes, I hope to have on our website soon as, I mean, I have him. He should be more like 90-95-1. So I see decent value on that.
Really good rebuttal, Sam. Now you're talking. You see value in that. I actually like that play. I was just busting your chops.
He's not going to win.
There has been winners here, to your point, of people who they're not supposed to win. And historically, they get away with it here. And I think it's because this is just my 2 cents on this. I feel like the players really love this course. And it's like one of those things that they'd love to have check marked. And these guys are all pros. And if they get hot, like, you know, why not fight? But yeah, I actually like the setup for Cameron Davis. He's probably going to be popular now that you bring him up in DFS. The guy that I will go to for my bet, which I'll have them here shortly in the next couple hours, actually, at betkarma.com. Man, what is Corey Connors odds? He was what, 20-1? What is he? Is he 35-1 this week?
I had him at 30-35, depending on the book.
I think I'm gonna go right back to that. Is kind of like in that sweet spot. I love the 30 range. I've historically have a lot of success with that. So I'll go Corey Connors. People will probably get off the bandwagon here after a subpar week, and then I'll have the rest of my betting card, like I said, probably tonight. That does it. Do you guys have any questions, comments, concerns? Obviously, hop in our Discord. We'd love to have you guys in there. A lot of free stuff on both websites. Let's keep moving along. I mean, we got a lot of the season left. We still got 3 majors ahead. And good luck this week. Talk to you soon.